This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Safe injecting rooms are just that. Safe. And we can make a real difference to how we treat people using them, both mentally and physically. We have a treatment for hepatitis C, but not everyone is accessing it, and it's time we look at why. Dean Arcuri and Darcy Meehan continue their conversation of tackling hep C treatment head-on in safe injecting rooms, but this time, it's not clinical, but personal.
Robert Lederman is a speaker and peer support worker for Hepatitis Victoria and Harm Reduction Victoria. He's also someone who's been treated for hepatitis C and knows firsthand the benefits of proper support for those who've contracted the virus. The Informer's Dean Arcuri spoke with Robert earlier this week to discuss the importance of needle and syringe programs, or NSPs, and how to reach the broader community and make sure they understand the treatments that are available.
Well, I think unlike your regular GP, say out in the suburbs, which most drug users do have bad experiences with, including myself, the needle and syringe programs were pretty much a bit of a respite for myself, particularly from the life on the street as a user and being homeless at that stage. And just being a non-judgmental environment, and the workers there are very empathetic towards the client's needs and fully understanding of that. And it was just a safe place where one could go and be open and honest about their situation.
The programs and facilities are important not just for the service they provide, but also because of the space they give for those in need of support.
A while back, I was living on the street, pretty much just over a year ago, for approximately about 10 months. I've been sort of in and out of different boarding house situations to crisis accommodation for a number of years, a lot of which was due to my addiction. And, the primary needle exchange where I was attending gave everything, not just clean equipment, but everything. It was a place to go for a shower, a cup of coffee, a friendly ear to have a chat to even, and including that, the doctor and nurses there were very cluey about someone such as myself, to my needs, having dealt with people myself on a regular basis, and it made it much easier for them to work with me
But the process isn't easy, especially for those living in communities without access to needle and syringe programs.
So, for instance, in your outer suburbs or regional areas where these services aren't really available, they might have secondary exchange programs, say, through a local community health centre or hospital, and they haven't got the staff there who specialise in that sort of thing. And for one to go get treatment, to even just kickstart that treatment for hep C, it could be up to, 4 to 5 visits. First of all, seeing your GP, then getting certain tests done, then going to another specialist where... at the NSP, it's pretty much a one-stop shop. They can get the ball rolling so much quicker, and a lot of people would, especially people with addiction problems, would find it hard to prioritise certain things. I was shopping for that myself. My main motivation and first thought of the day was how to obtain my next shot, basically. And I always told myself, after I sort myself out there, then I'll go do what I have to do. But the truth is, as soon as you have that first one, your next thought is, how do I get my next one? So you put a lot of things on the back burners. And because most people who do use will pop into these services, and it's it. They advertise it, through posters, through word of mouth. The staff will always have a quick chat. And I do think, it does need to be so much more.
Often it's the stigma that surrounds hepatitis C that turns people away from seeking treatment.
I'm not fully sure exactly how long I've actually had the virus. I'm guessing it would be around probably 16 to 17 years. I'd been a drug user for 30 years, an IV drug user for about 20. And I was, due to my GP, when I first got diagnosed, my local GP didn't have a very good bedside manner and really put me off seeing health professionals for quite a while. I felt the prejudice through him and a lot of other stigma-related issues too through some other health professionals. But when I did finally decide to go ahead with it, my new doctor basically said, look, we'll wait a couple of years. Your viral load isn't very severe. You're coping quite well. So he basically made me wait a bit longer and kept doing regular checkups with me, but until the new treatment became available, because as you may know, the old interferon treatment was quite a horrific experience. I've met some people who have gone through that, and it was horrendous from what I heard. So the first time I did actually clear the virus, but unfortunately, due to a relapse in drug use and a bit of stupidity on my behalf, I recontracted it. So I'm undergoing treatment again for a second time. I'm probably halfway through that now, and all's going very well. I'm happy to say, with the first time and the second time now, I've had zero side effects with this new medication.
There are also many other misconceptions when it comes to what treatment actually involves.
A lot of seasoned drug users are still under the impression that a lot of people I've spoken to and quoted think that, well, A, you have to be abstinent from any drug use. You know, you have to give up before they will treat you, which is false. I mean, people with IV, do use intravenously, can still continue to use while undergoing treatment, as long as they practice safe using practices and everything. But yeah, so that's not required. But in the past, it was a bit, they tried to deter you from that. And people are still of the old mindset of, the memory of the old interferon. So many people that I know are still unaware how good it is and how short it is. I mean, last time it only took me 2 months to clear the virus, and I'm just going to go for a 3 month this time. And yeah, it's looking very good.
That was Dean and Darcy speaking with Robert Lederman of Hepatitis Victoria and Harm Reduction Victoria. He's someone who's been treated for hepatitis C and knows firsthand the benefits of proper support for those who've contracted the virus.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.